Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to News and Views. Thanks for joining us. The House budget bill is more than 300 pages long and cuts more than $2.4 billion from the operation of state government, most of it in education and human services. Here to help us understand more of what the House budget is proposing is Rand Coble with the North Carolina Center for Public Policy Research. Well, Rand, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time as always.
Well, we're glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Let's just start overall before we get into some specifics. What are your impressions now the House has approved its budget?
On the positive side, I was pleased that we knew more about the budget in previous years early, that it wasn't sort of something that was in committee on a Monday or Tuesday and then drop the next day into the full vote in the House when you're still reading a 300-page bill. So that's better. I think also, you know, the amount of debate that was allowed. I mean, they went 12 hours on Tuesday and then another 3 hours on Wednesday. And so that, you know, there were a lot of amendments run. In the end, I think what we need to look at is the product. And you've really got two different visions of the world going on here between the Republican majority and the Democratic minority and Governor Perdue. And there's some long-term damage in there, I think. The other thing I should mention is, for the most part, the Republicans kept special provisions, things that amend laws unrelated to the budget, out of the budget in a greater way than in the past. I think the big worry points are, what damage do you do to the education piece of the state budget? What are the long-term costs of that? This goes back to the different views of the world. There's sort of an unreality about putting that many people out of work. It's like, okay, there's no question that the Republican majority wants to emphasize growth of private sector jobs. But no matter whose number you believe, the Republicans' number of 18,000 job cuts or the Democrats' number of 30,000 job cuts, that's double the largest layoff in state history in any sector, the Pilatex layoff of 7,600 jobs. So that's a lot of people out of work in an economy that's sort of still recovering very slowly, and I worry about that for the state.
One other thing that struck me, and I wanted to get your comments about it, is that there's a not-so-subtle shift in state government happening in the budget. They're reassigning environmental protection jobs from the Department of Environment and Natural Resources to the Department of Agriculture. They're doing away with or defunding some of the tobacco settlement funds and shrinking other places. Is this also a philosophical document?
I actually think they're on fairly bipartisan ground, and that a lot of those shifts are things that the governor proposed. Now, I did count six different reorganizations in the budget bill. I'd rather those be in a separate bill, sort of on the premise that the budget is the budget and shouldn't be used for other ends. But those are, several of those are things where the governor said, let's consolidate three crime control kind of agencies: corrections, crime control and public safety, juvenile justice, and delinquency prevention. They're moving the Employment Security Commission into the Department of Commerce. Now, the new ideas in there do have a philosophical shift in them. And I think particularly the shifts from pieces of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources, it's like, we want to put those in agencies that have a different outlook on the world or a different mission. Moving something to agriculture, which is sort of a move from an environmental protection kind of mission to a marketing kind of mission, the Division of Forestry. Another piece of it moves to commerce or the Natural Sciences Museum moves. A lot of things out of the environmental agency are being moved, and the Republicans were, I think, fairly open about saying they really wanted to dismantle that agency as much as possible, and that they wanted to de-emphasize the agency's ability to enforce the laws that are on the books and the rules that are on the books. So I think that's an example where it wasn't bipartisan. It was a move of philosophy to de-emphasize protection of the environment and emphasize the things that they moved it to, which were in many cases also Republican-controlled agencies. The Department of Agriculture is headed by a Republican, Steve Troxler, and so I don't think that was an accident either. The one that I think really doesn't belong in the budget that fits in that category of a reorganization is combining a piece of the Secretary of State's office that regulates lobbyists, a piece of the campaign finance piece of the State Board of Elections with the State Ethics Commission, moving all that into one agency. And that's a big change. I'm not sure what I think about that yet. I mean, but of the three, the Ethics Commission is the most recent, the one that's sort of still getting its feet wet and hasn't really proven itself as sort of being a tough enforcer of its mission. And so that's one that I'd love to see debated more in a separate bill. There is a separate bill, but it seems to be moving through the budget right now.
Another trend the Democrats have talked about, and we get your take on, is that there are a lot of budget cuts built into the budget that aren't specified, and that there's expected savings, for example, in the community care program of $95, $94 million, and a lot of people in the department say that's not going to happen, and there's some additional discretionary cuts to public schools. I mean, is that a problem? Do we really know what these cuts will eventually be?
I think it is a problem. I think that's a fair criticism. The three places that I think it's sort of a case of the legislature telling the executive branch, find some savings, but then sort of undermining their ability to do it. The Republicans say there are fewer job cuts. They're not cutting teachers at the state level, but they are in effect forcing local schools to lay off people, particularly teachers' assistants and non-teaching positions. There will be job cuts there at the local level, but nobody knows how many because it really depends on a by-school system decision on those cuts. A second example is the one you mentioned, Medicaid. They're just counting on savings through the community care program, which is sort of their patient management part of Medicaid. It's actually a very prominent national example of a way to curb Medicaid cost, and Community Care of North Carolina has really proved itself, I think, in terms of controlling its more increases in cost because everybody's healthcare costs are rocketing. Ours are less because of that program. But they just sort of said to Community Care and the Department of Health and Human Services, find these savings without sort of making a tough decision of why. And then, of course, later then they can blame it on the executive branch. Whether or not those are good decisions or not, what the legislative branch is doing is, in effect, saying that they have cut without sort of giving the agency that they are forcing to do the cut the ability to do it, and putting them in a situation where, in that last example, where it's like, okay, cut it, but, oh, by the way, don't cut it where the most riders on the ferries are. So down the road, we'll see one of two things will happen. Either the agencies can't make that amount of cuts, given what else the legislature told them, or there will be more job layoffs as a second wave of impact from the budget.
Up next, more on the winners and losers in the House budget with Rand Coble.